Today we're in the book of Jeremiah. Oh yeah, good. Jeremiah 28. Before we get into it, kind of want to let you know why we're here. So a few years ago, I had my car stolen. And in the midst of the car being stolen, it was recovered. But in the midst of it being stolen was in my car a key fob for my garage door. So, and a panic on that day, because there's so much going on, your car is stolen. That was a head scratcher. You go to church and you walk out and you're like, where's my car? And I thought Tosh had moved it, but she didn't. So this was a few years ago, and in the haste of everything happening, we shut down everything for the garage door, the keypad, both fobs, everything. We didn't know who had this fob, so we wanted to make sure our home was secure, obviously, and we shut everything down. And that was, 8, 9, 10 years ago. And we've not been able to properly reset the garage door keypad, you know, the keypad on the outside of the garage door with the code. Tosh tried, and honestly, if anybody could get stuff done, she can do it, but she couldn't even do it. So I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to figure it out. But for one reason or another, last Saturday, I was determined. And I was like, I am going to fix this keypad. This has been long enough. So I was determined to make this happen. I was going to change our keypad thing. I was going to get it up and running. And with any luck, both of the fobs too. But let's not go too far. I just wanted to get the keypad up and running. So I watched. The first thing I did was I watched a YouTube video, which is where, according to Gail Rulin, where are you, Gail Rulin? You can find and learn how to do anything, because obviously our owner's manual is super long gone. I have no idea where that is. So I watched this YouTube video. Thank you, Gail Rulin. And I watched this video, and once again, I was determined. And I can get a little stubborn at times. I know. Shocking. Shocking, I know. I took some serious notes to learn from this video, how this keypad was supposed to get reprogrammed. I watched it, took tedious notes, and with all the notes in hand, I proceeded to my keypad because I was going to change this code. I was going to get this thing up and running. Tosh was going to be so happy, and I was going to be so proud of myself. So I proceeded with the process that I had just learned, and I followed the instructions step by step very carefully. By the way, some of this involves me being in the keypad and then going either inside through the front door or just opening my garage door from the inside and like climbing up a ladder, looking at the unit that's up on the ceiling. Anybody know what those are? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going back and forth, like the process is at least 3 times. I'm going back and forth, up the ladder, checking the light, got it, go down, plugging this in, going back up. I did it the first time and I was like, yes, baby, up, hit the up and down button, and guess what happened? Nothing. That's right. You guys have a lot of faith in me. Thank you. That's kind. Very kind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, frustrated, I followed the instructions again. 2 more times. I did this process a total of 3 times, and all 3 times was the same result. Guess what? It didn't work. I know. You guys already know. It didn't work. 3 times, the process failed, all 3 times. So now I'm really getting frustrated. And by this time, normally, Pastor Tosh can attest to this, I'm going to give up. I'm going to be like, whatever, it's never going to work. That's fine. We'll go through the front door. I don't care if it ever opens again. But I was determined that day. So I went back to the drawing board, back to my YouTube videos. I went to another YouTube video, and I said to myself, self, you're going to watch another YouTube video, different person, all the way from the beginning to the end, because mama didn't raise no fool, and I am going to get this thing fixed. Now, here's the thing you should know about the first video. I didn't watch it all the way to the end. I Look, the guy said that was the end and he was done. And then he started talking about something else, about he and some neighbors are going to start this business. I'm like, well, this is a commercial. I don't even know who this guy is. So I just stopped. So this one I watched all the way to the end. And with my notes, I could quickly see what happened here. The programming instructions of the first guy said to hit program 357 all at the same time and hit program again. The second video, and this is like the second step, the second video he said hit program 357 separately, then hit the program. Guess what happened when I did it the second time? It worked! That's right. That's right, I got it done. I also want you to know that I went back to listen to the end of the video on the other one, and the guy, he does his little commercial for whatever side business job that he's going to do, and then I hear him say, okay, so let's try the code. Here we go, 1987, and he pushes that button, and he goes, oh, it didn't work. And the video stopped. Like, that was it. He didn't take the video down or anything. He was just like, oh, that didn't work. Click, and it's just like, done. I'm like, thanks a lot, dude. Like, at least take it down or put something in the beginning and be like, this doesn't work. Have fun watching this video. Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, that was a side note. But you had to know that because it's just kind of funny. So, anyway, the old adage, you guys heard this probably when you were like, well, I heard this first when I was like in middle school dealing with computers, garbage in, garbage out. Like, the instructions were supremely wrong. Like, that one step was, like, so bad, and, like, I would have done it a million times, and it still wouldn't have gotten the right results, right? It was incorrect information. We live in a world today where we get a lot of information, don't we? And I would even say, honestly, it's too much information. Too much information. And it's incredibly important for us as Christians living in this world with a lot of information swirling around to know what is true, what YouTube video is right, and what is false and what YouTube video is wrong. In my example, it is not a big deal, right? We have lived with it for 9 years or so, a garage door opener keypad that didn't work. So it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of life. But man, there's some information out in the world at all times that if it's wrong, could really be a big deal. Could be a big deal. It's very, very important to be able to determine between the two. My little garage door opener thing is just kind of a story of you can put time and energy into something that doesn't work. It's wrong. You're going to get something that doesn't work the entire time. We can spend a lot of time spinning our wheels with misinformation. And I got to thinking as I did that and was finally victorious, I was like, oh, man, if my YouTube video was right the first time, I wouldn't have this issue. But a sermon was born from that incorrect, misinformation, full of misinformation YouTube video, the first one that I watched. So as Christians, what can we do when we have a bunch of information swirling around in the world? What example do we have in the Bible? Well, I found one in Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah 28 actually kind of goes along with Jeremiah 27 too. So this week, if you have time, read Jeremiah 27 and 28. It's one complete story, but I'm not going to read all of that today. I am going to read all of 28, but don't worry. It's only 17 verses. It's all right. We're going to make it together. But I want to tell you what happens in 27 because you kind of need to know what happens in 27 before we get into the story in 28. So here's the backdrop. Jeremiah is a prophet. They were people that were basically God's mouthpiece. They would tell people what was going on, messages straight from God himself. And Jeremiah had predicted that Judah and the surrounding nations, when you read it in chapters 27-ish, he's telling the people that they are going to go into captivity in Babylon. So the Babylonians are going to take them over. They're going to be enslaved and in captivity for 70 years. That's a long time. Yeah, wow, exactly. So we see quickly in 27, at the very beginning of it, the Lord directed Jeremiah to put a yoke on his neck, which is funny. Pastor Joyce talked about yokes last week, but he was supposed to put a yoke on his neck as a visual for the people to see. Because what this yoke was to show people and remind people was of the slavery and the captivity and the heavy burden that they were going to have as they were in captivity for 70 years. So he's wearing this yoke so people can see it. This is what God has told him to tell people. And then we pick up the story in chapter 28. This guy named Hananiah comes around. And he's got a different story. Uh-oh, different YouTube video here. Okay? So let's read the story. I want to read Jeremiah 28 today. Oh, I'm going to start having to bring my glasses up here. Let me see. If I stand back here, I think I can see it. All right. I'm going to make it through. No, I don't need them. I'm determined. In the fifth month of the same year, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, yes, yes. I am feeling the love from you people today. Wow. Oh, but I can see, so here we go. It's a miracle. Yeah. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed here and took to Babylon. So this, just real quick, because we're laughing and stuff, I want to make sure we get this right. Hananiah is the one who's coming in verse 2, and he's saying, this yoke that Jeremiah is carrying around, it's going to be only 2 years, not the 70, 2. I will also bring back to his place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will only be recognized as the one truly sent by the Lord, only if his prediction comes true. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke off the neck and had a hissy fit. Oh, I'm sorry. Yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and broke it. And he said before all the people, this is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck of all the nations within 2 years. At this, the prophet Jeremiah went away. He went on his way. Shortly after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. I will even give him control over the wild animals. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. Yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. In the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah the prophet died. Okay, so let's untangle some of this. There's a few things from this story that I get about truth versus false, lies, misinformation, if you will. The first thing is, just because someone tells us something we want to hear, or the information is better than what someone else told us, does not mean it's the truth. Kind of obvious here, but sometimes I think we need that obvious point to be made. In this example, we see it here with Hananiah. Who here wants to be in captivity for 2 years versus 70 years? I pick two, please. It's what the people wanted to hear. Hananiah tells them what they want to hear, but that is not always the truth. Truth isn't part of a popularity contest trying to win you over. And I'm sorry to say this, but sometimes the truth isn't always easy. Has anybody learned that in their life? We see Jeremiah's initial reaction in verse 6. He says, "Amen, may the Lord do so." I mean, he's like, okay, maybe something changed here. I was told 70 years, but now you're going with two. I think he wanted that to be the truth, but he knew, and I think he was a little bit skeptical, and he said, I know what God told me here. And what Jeremiah said was extremely unpopular, wasn't it? Scary, unsettling. And what he was envisioning, what he was showing people visually, the burden that they were going to have for 70 years, wasn't very popular information, but it was the truth. Our God is not a God of false information, and he wants us to know the truth, even if it's not necessarily what we want to hear. It's not necessarily the most popular thing, but he wants us to live in the truth, and that's what Jeremiah did here, didn't he? He was the voice of truth. Information that we get that we like can't always be trusted to be the truth. We have one source of truth, and that's God, right? You see this, and I'm going to touch base on that in my next point, but one source of truth, and that's what God says, not what someone else says that maybe you think is a better idea. Be aware that sometimes it may be hard to listen to the truth. Truth can be painful, painful truth. But that is better than being comforted by false hope. It's not always what we want to hear. The second thing I see in this story is, and I alluded to it a little just a few minutes ago, but the truth is always backed by God. A true prophet's words take place and comes true. Jeremiah says this in here, right? And actually, if you go into Deuteronomy in 18, verses 20 through 22, God's laying down the rules of his new nation, of his new people. And one of them, one of the rules is about prophets. And this is what God says about prophets and the rule with prophets in Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. And Jeremiah references that. He says, look, you can say all kinds of things about peace and wonderful things, but if it doesn't come true, it's not the truth, and you're not a real prophet, dude. You're giving lies to people. When we hear information, we need to test that information to what we know about God and what we know God has said. That's why it's important for us to be at church, talk to other believers, read our Bible, pray, do what you need to do in order to get closer to God so you know who he is, so you know when you're out in this world and there's stuff swirling, you can tell, okay, yeah, that's from God. I know that's got to be truth. This is when the ability or that spiritual gift of discernment comes into play. Discernment, big word. I'm going to break it down for us, nice and easy here. Discernment is the ability to perceive, understand, and judge things clearly, especially those that are not so obvious or straightforward. See, sometimes things come at you and you're like, oh, yeah, that, oh, no, that, you have to do a double take. Anybody ever have to do double take with information? Yeah. But discernment helps you understand that, especially when it's not obvious and slapping you right in the face. The root of the word discernment is discern, and that means to understand or know something through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that little thing inside of you that gives you discernment that says, oh, nope, this is a bunch of hogwash, and I shouldn't be believing this right now. Or it says, yep, that's it. That tracks, follow that. That's who God is. That's what God said. That this is how God would want me to handle this. Discernment, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit, helps us separate truth from lies. We know in John, Jesus talks about he is the way, the truth, and the life. And all information we get is from the truth, Jesus. If it's not of God, it's not how Jesus would act, it's nothing you see in Scripture about Jesus or anything, then it's not the truth. We can test everything that we get on how to act, what to do, how to behave in a situation, right from God and knowing God and knowing who God is. The truth is always backed by God. And then the third thing I see here, poor Hananiah. I see that the truth wins out eventually. People who give misinformation or tell lies, they're going to eventually be exposed in this world. We see Hananiah was. Jeremiah came right at him once God told him to act, which I think is very important. I love here that Jeremiah just kind of walks away. He gets his information from God, and then he goes in and he's like, oh yeah, you're not who you say you are. He doesn't get into an argument with him at the beginning of the chapter. He just does his thing, his words from God's right at the end. Jeremiah walks away from the hissy fit. He doesn't argue. He just waits for God to tell him what to do and waits for God's words. Boy, is that hard. Oh, man, that's hard. But that's a wonderful characteristic that I see in this prophet. And then I love that what he says here. You've persuaded this nation to trust in lies. You're telling false things, and they're thinking false things. They're thinking it's 2 years versus 70. This is not truth. And these people are trusting you to tell them things that are truth. It's a very serious offense that Hananiah created here that Jeremiah calls him out on. In fact, I found a really awesome verse that I didn't know about in Zechariah 8, 16 through 17. This is Zechariah, a prophet, who God's telling him, these are the words that God directed him to say and record. And it goes like, and it says this, these are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against your neighbor and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all of this, declares the Lord. Ooh. One version of the Bible I read says, I detest all this. God's directing us to speak truth to one another. It's a serious offense to not. And God will deal with people, as I said at the beginning of this, information incorrectly. As we see here in Scripture, just a couple months later, Hananiah, he dies. We start the chapter, we're in the fifth month, and at the end, we're in the seventh month. So 2 months later, God takes care of him. There are so many ways we get information. YouTube videos, news, social media posts, our own thoughts in our head. However you get that information, I pray that you pray on that information first and think of these points that we've discussed today. Is this information true? Is this just what I want to hear? Does this just confirm my own agenda myself, or do I need to be thinking outside the box here? Is this information backed by God? Is it verified by God? What's the Holy Spirit telling me about this right now? Is this who God is? What in the Bible tells me about this? Can I look something up here? What would Jesus say about this if he were sitting right next to me hearing the same thing? What would he say? How would he guide me? How would he direct me? Often we need to sit back and we need to let God, the Holy Spirit, what we know about God, verify things for us, verify the truth for us, and expose the truth for us, and then we can act on it when God tells us that we need to act on it. Misinformation is nothing new. You know, I'm watching my little YouTube video that the guy totally didn't give me the right steps. And that is nothing new. This is thousands of years ago when someone's telling something wrong information. Isn't it interesting how we have not changed, people? We have not changed. Just maybe the medium of how it's done, prophets versus YouTube videos, but hey. And I often get frustrated in the world when there's stuff floating around about all kinds of different things. Even my own garage door opener. It's frustrating, right? When you get misinformation. And sometimes I feel that there's no recourse. It can just be out there and whatever. And honestly, there's so many more important... I'm using my garage door opener as an example, but really, there's so many more important things and issues and things that are happening in our world today. But this story reminds me that this is nothing new, and it's going to continue to happen. So we, as people of God, have to figure out what we're going to do with what we're getting. And just FYI, it's not for us to pass judgment or deal with the false stuff that's happening. We just have to act, learn, know, challenge it with, talk to God about it, figure out what God wants us to do with that information, and let God deal with whoever's going to do whatever or say whatever. We have something in this room today to combat misinformation and lies and things, non-truthful things that the people in Jeremiah's time didn't have, and that's Jesus. We have Jesus. The radical difference in knowing the absolute true truth. True truth. Following him, knowing who he is and his teachings leads us right to the truth. I already said Jesus said he's the way, the truth. He is the truth and the life. He also said in John 8 that through him we know the truth and the truth is going to set us free. Amen to that. What a promise that we can hold on to in our confusion, in our confusing world. If you know Jesus, then you know the truth. You just got to ask him about it. Have the Holy Spirit help you. Learn about him. If we have Jesus, we have the truth. We have a peaceful life. We have a life that we can live in freedom like no other person or anything can ever give us in this world. When it comes to important things in our life, hard decisions, ways to treat people, ways to treat others, let's not go find instruction from some person on a YouTube video, shall we? Let's not do that. We can simply go to this Bible right here, and we can learn everything we need to know about the truth. And let's be a church full of people that is oozing the truth out into this world, right? That's what the world needs too, is for us to tell truth. And we have the perfect example of a man who gave us that truth. And the complete instruction manual on how to treat each other step by step, one step at a time, how to treat each other, how to love one another, and how to love God. That's the truth.